to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, it's Carol, co-host of The Divine Breadcrumb. This episode is brought to you by Carol L. Campos Coaching. Why coach with me when there are so many coaches out there? I do things differently. I don't jump right into your goal. Why? Well, what I've learned is that the subconscious mind is running 90% of the show. That's where we start. We clear any emotional blocks and limiting beliefs first, making sure you know your why and are aligned with where you're headed before tackling your goal. Whether you want to change careers or simply want more joy in your life, I can teach you strategies to help you gain the clarity needed to go where your heart is calling. To get started, I invite you to sign up for a free discovery session at carollcampos.com. Together, let's light your path. Hi, everybody. This is Carol.
Hey, everybody. This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Yes, welcome back. I am so excited about today's guest. Anyone who has been following my blogs or social media knows that I love nature, especially trees. Being around trees is kind of my safe haven. And when I was a child, I named all the trees in my yard and I talked to them, etc. Well, today's guest is Anna Maria Vasquez, a multisensory animal and nature intuitive. Anna Maria can actually communicate with animals and trees. And today we're going to talk to her about just that, how animals, trees, and even rocks can act as messengers. Anna Maria is the founder of the online community Intention Training, where she offers one-on-one readings, workshops, and courses. And she also provides a multitude of free content. So we'll give you all the information so you can check it out. Anna Maria's spiritual journey really took off after she went through a series of difficult events. In the span of 18 months, she lost her job, her home, her relationship, and one of her beloved dogs. Today, we'll talk a little bit about what transpired. We're also going to get a mini reading. So excited, Anna Maria. Welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness. This is my favorite kinds of conversations to have. And we are just going to have so much fun. And really what it points back to is all of our natural inherent abilities to do these things, to communicate with this life force energy that's showing up as a tree or a dog or a rock.
Yeah.
And it's not this, you know, out there kind of thing. I love making it practical and tangible for people.
Oh, yeah. And I think our listeners will love that. So Anna Maria, I just touched on the fact that a series of unfortunate events happened within a relatively short period of time. So can you talk a little bit about how this affected your spiritual journey?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. You know, it goes even back further from that particular life tsunami. I grew up in a really chaotic environment. It was very, very dysfunctional. It was very violent. And so like many people who are listening, you know, a lot of us have some common threads. That was the beginning of my training in the energy. I didn't know it at the time, but it was helping me calibrate to tune in. And people listening can understand this. You have to start to pay attention to what do the footsteps sound like? What does the car door sound like? What does it sound like when they're coming into the house? Because that was my key to my survival. What was going on in the environment. And that at that early age taught me how to tune in to those things that you can't see, but you can feel. And so that sent me, you know, on this lifelong journey. I grew up it seemed, aside from the chaos, relatively normal. I wouldn't have said, I would have never called myself an animal communicator or a medium or anything like that. But when I got older and I was going through life and I could tell that there was more going on, but it felt more like chaos again, like ongoing chaos. I felt like I was an empath, but I didn't really know what that meant. And I could feel everything. And it just felt really yucky. And at that point, when my, that 18 month period where everything just fell apart, I came to that point where it was like, okay, if I'm going to stay here and I'm going to do this, because trust me, I thought about taking the next exit out of here. I was like, there's got to be more going on. There's got to be something else. And all these spiritual platitudes, you know, it is what it is and it happens for a reason and, you know, blah, 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 all that. They're either real or it's a bunch of malarkey designed to just keep us comfortable until we die. And I thought, I'm going to find out one way or another. And so I've hit rock bottom. I've got nothing to lose. And it's time to put these things into my living laboratory and see what happens. And oh my goodness, it was phenomenal. So I started testing out these different energies and I started realizing you really can shift what's going on in your life. And one of the exercises that I was working with was putting your hands on a tree to kind of calibrate with the energy. And even though I had this curiosity and I had this let's see what happens attitude, I still had a lot of skepticism. And I even felt self-conscious, like I'm putting my hands on this tree. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm touching you in an inappropriate place. If somebody walked up, I don't know what I would say. So I just sat there and I said, well, I have a lot of doubt, a lot of skepticism, but that tiny little mustard seed of possibility and hope that something else could be going on here, that's what I'm grabbing on to. And sure enough, little by little, that step of faith started to unravel and unfold this amazing story of connection and remembering that particular tree. It turned out, she said to me, her name was Ruby. And it turned out, as I was learning more about her, that she was a red pine. So I thought that was all very interesting. And I started asking her questions that I knew answers to, you know? And then I thought, well, that's not going to help build my confidence. If I already know the answers to these questions, what do I care if the tree knows or not? So I started asking her questions that I didn't have the answer to, but I could look it up. And so sure enough, everything from what happened to her, because the top, her very top was missing. She's in this group of trees and her top is missing. So I asked her what happened and I heard big storm broke off. And I thought, okay. But it was interesting because she also was sitting in this space where there was a house. And if you looked out that house, somebody could have purposefully topped her off to get a better view. So I talked to the owner and I said, hey, do you know whatever happened, you know, to that one tree out there? And he said, I kid you not, almost word for word that she said, big storm, top broke off. I was like, holy crap. And it continued like that. And one day I was sitting there with, you know, I was sitting in the house because I could see her from my house. And I said, you know, very human, one of my human moments. I have a lot of them. And I said to her, I'm not trying to be ungrateful because I'm really glad you're talking to me and this has been super fun, but I don't know what to do with a talking tree. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. And she just chuckled and it felt very much like, you know, when we're with the elders in our family and they watch our nonsense and they just chuckle in their yep. knowingness. And she, cause I'm like, well, I asked to talk to animals. So I'm not trying to be ungrateful, but I'm not sure what to do. And she said, it's all energy and it's coming. You were calibrating to this energy, but it's all energy and it's just another exit on the highway. So sure enough, within weeks, the animals started showing up in really phenomenal ways. And then the humans who had crossed over, they weren't far behind that either. So I had to absolutely recalibrate my belief system as yeah. well as my energy system to be able to expand and lean into these amazing happenings that, again, on one hand, they seem crazy amazing. And on the other hand, the trees and the animals and the rocks have all told me, this is small potatoes. You humans need to get over it and just remember you can do this so we can get on with it.
I love it. I love that.
And it makes sense because, yes, everything is energy. And, you know, and I've heard it compared to this dialing on the band of a radio and you just have to find the frequency.
Exactly. Exactly. And but most of us, we're so distracted by everything else that's going on that we don't even know how to just drop into that heart space and make that connection. It sounds so easy. It's simple. But it's a practice because we're so used to those other voices that are like, me, pick me, and that are pulling us and pulling us in all these different directions. And it's really about settling down, breathing, getting quiet. And if we can do that in nature with a tree, with a rock, or with an animal, it really does amplify the messages coming through.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So, you know, as we've determined, you can communicate with animals, trees, and rocks. What are they here to tell us and what kind of messages do they bring?
You know, each of those beings has their own kind of flavor of energy and how they share that. But overall, it's always the message of unity, of oneness, that there is no separation. We're not separate from that tree, from those rocks, from those animals. We are an extension. That's life force energy showing up that way. I giggle when I think about, you know, you're talking about how you named every tree, you know, when you were young. And one day we were out with James's granddaughter on the horses and we had the conversation about trees and how they can talk and you can communicate with them. So then every tree in the national forest that we rode by, she wanted to know what its name was. And you know, of course, that's the 8-year-old in all of us. That's like, well, what's this tree's name? What's that tree's name? And so how I explained it to her, I go, it's kind of like when we go to the mall, there's a lot of other humans there and we could talk to any of them. But we don't always talk to everyone and we don't find out what everyone's name is. And so it's more about feeling into where are we being called and, you know, where is that message trying to come through or being intentional in the question that we're asking. But each of those beings, the plants, the rocks, the animals, they're all here to help support us in reconnecting. That's the biggest piece. And they each have their own kinds of energy. You know, the rocks have a lot of galactic energy. They're such old beings and they have some of the longest lifetime assignments, you know, that we'll see on this planet. We'll come and go many, many times before one of them goes on to their next assignment. But they have and they pulse out this energy that we can tag onto to support us, but also to amplify our own intentions of whatever it is that we're looking to call into our life. So it's about getting to know and having a relationship with each of those kinds of beings. And again, it doesn't mean like I got to go out in the forest and make friends with all of them. In fact, I have a very small group of trees that, you know, like, that they're my group that I go to. Like if something great or something that I don't think is so great happens, you know, most people like text their bestie. I run out to the forest. Like my partner knows, he's like, if I'm off, he's like, how long has it been since you've been outside or have you talked to the trees yet? So it's one of those where we develop our own relationship. And again, we practice. Not every tree wants to work with us. They got their own stuff going on. It's just like walking up to the mall in the mall, walking up to someone, they might want to talk to you. They might think you're just a weirdo.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and I love that because I feel like times when I've gone for walks and there's certain places I walk all the time. Yes, there is a certain tree that I basically say my hello to and put my hand on the tree. And I don't know why, it's just the one that I went to.
Yeah. And it's asking permission, you know, like we're kind of, the way they've described it, we're like toddlers. We're cute as heck, but we really have no manners. we don't know what we're doing. And so we don't have boundaries. So, you know, we pick up all these rocks and we take them home when really we need to be asking. I mean, they're there in that ecosystem and they have a job there. They might not want to leave. So yeah. It's about asking, you know, like, do you want to work with me? Do you want to come home with me? Do you, you know, like all of these different things, you know, otherwise it's kidnapping.
Yeah. That's so true though. That is so true. Well, and I love that they're communicating, you know, messages of unity and just reconnecting. But I was curious, are there any messages you've received or have heard other people receive that have been really profound or surprised you?
To me, it's always the surprising parts are about our potential, our abilities. Like, again, like we think, oh my God, I can talk to the dog. How great is that? You know, this is going to be awesome. And they're like, yeah, there's a practicality to it, but you guys, we're missing it. It's so much deeper. It's so much bigger. It's about us not being alone, not doing this ourselves. And again, we like work so hard to do it ourselves. And you know, there's no medal, there's no certificate we're going to get when we cross over because we struggled and did it by ourselves. We're not supposed to be doing this by ourselves. And that means coming together as humans. And it also means coming together with the other energies, the other beings that we share the planet with. And this is really about us remembering who we truly be, because we spend most of our time in that amnesia state of forgetting who we really be and who what we're doing here.
Yeah, that is very true. And Carol and I have heard that a lot from many different people that we've interviewed that we've just forgotten. You know, in the sort of the timeline of the universe, I know that humans really are sort of a blip, but will we figure it out?
Well, that's where the free will comes in, unfortunately.
Right.
And if we look at it just the way it is, if we just look at the headlines today, we would definitely say no. We're not going to figure this out. But here's the thing. It's not about everyone on the planet figuring it out. It really is about that critical mass that creates that tipping point. So every time each of us individually does our own expansion work, our own remembering, it's not about learning anything. It's about remembering.
Right.
And it's so interesting because we think that we're the ones in charge, you know, because we're the ones with the thumbs and we're the ones that have language, all of this. But I actually had an experience where I was regressed to a past life where I was totally being taught by the plants and the trees. They were the ones really running the show and they were teaching me about that. And so, you know, there's that aspect again about here we are now, and this is what we're doing to all the other beings on this planet when we're forgetting that we're so much more equal than we're remembering, and we're losing a lot of ancient wisdom and knowledge with the extinctions that are happening in the plant community and in the animal community.
Yeah. As you said, humans, we think that we're at the top of the pile here, but if you step back and just think about the power of nature, and nature has the ability to decimate us whenever she wants to. So we're not in charge.
Well, and the truth is, you know, if we bring about our own destruction, she's just going to shake us off, you know, like
right.
a flea. And
exactly.
She's going to go on and regenerate actually quite quickly without us here. It's us, you know, in our embodiment that are remembering things. And the thing is we've all had these experiences, not just on this planet, but in other galaxies as well. And if we could get beyond ourselves, if we could get over ourselves and remember this interconnectedness, we would be behaving very differently, mostly to ourselves. And then the natural outflow would be to every other being that we come into contact with.
Yeah, that makes so much
sense.
Mm-hmm. So how can people interested in communicating this way get started? Is this something people can flex and get better at on their own?
Yeah, you know, I have a free gift, and I think you guys have the link for it. Yep. My top five ways of connecting with animals and nature, because there is this energetic aspect, of course, and some people we know, we all know those people who ever since they've been here, they just remembered and they could do it. And then there's the rest of us that are like, okay, I want to believe that. And now let's see. So there are physical things as well as energetic things that we can do that help to turn up the volume on these abilities. And so I take you through, I talk about it and you get a PDF, these different aspects, you know, from our physicality, you know, what are we putting in, on, and around our body that's either turning our vibration up or turning our vibration down. To, you know, again, connecting intentionally with these natural realms and giving you ideas of how to do that, as well as, you know, I talked about we're not meant to do this alone, but we always, we got that chip on our shoulder as humans. And there are energetic supplements that we can use, these different earth technology kinds of aspects that are available to us, whether it's brainwave entrainment, you know, focused life force energy, or other earth-based technologies that can help us raise and keep a high vibration while we're working this out. You know, I've done a lot of practice and I've built that muscle so much. So I can read and I can tune in no matter what's going on. You know, when I first started, I had to be alone in a dark room with the candles and the music and stay in this meditative state. And now someone can walk up to me in a bar, you know, a couple of years in, and I can still read really clearly, but it took a long time to get to that point. And it's not ideal, but that's the thing. We've got the ability and we've got help, and even just connecting with our own animals, our own, you know, companion animals, and saying, I want to remember this, help me remember in an easeful and gentle way, because none of us need the 2x4 method anymore.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, spent a lot of time learning by the 2x4 method.
I know. I'm like, I think I can stop that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, did that way too long.
You know, you talk about the forgetting. Now, I have seen this in my own experience, and of course, I've read it, that children, because they are closer to have come into this lifetime, young children generally are far more open because they haven't completely forgotten yet. Do you find that to be true in your experience?
Absolutely. It's both ends of the spectrum. Young children who just came in and those who are ready to cross over. In fact, we just had that experience in our family. My grandfather just crossed, and in the 2 weeks before it happened, he had visitations from other family members that had crossed over. One of them, he didn't know. Nobody told him that one had crossed over. And yet there he was. And I was like, y'all, I told you, you should have told him.
Yeah, that happened with my grandfather. He would, his family members that had passed before him, they were probably about the last, you're right, 2 weeks. They would all come visit.
Yeah, they'll show up in, like, you know, the full body apparitions. They'll show up in the dream state if we still have too much mind. And those folks who are dealing with the dementia and the Alzheimer's, both ends, you know, like when the little kids are talking about stuff that we would just say is make-believe, I say ask more questions.
Right.
We started finding, again, those beautiful horseback rides out here in the forest. James and I would be riding and I would say, you know, oh my gosh, I just saw, you know, this tribe over here, or I saw these wolves or something. And then he would come back. He's like, you will not believe I was out with Jocelyn and she, the same spots, she would make the same comments that you made about what she was seeing. He goes, in all these years, I just thought it was her, you know, being a little 7-year-old or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But we, and not that it's always that, but we don't want to squelch it. And we really want to pay more attention and we want to ask more questions. You know, with those folks who are in between the realms on their way back to the energy, it's a great space to ask questions. And again, some of it is gobbledygook that's coming through the lines. And some of it is crazy profound aspects that they can share with us.
Yeah, my mom has Alzheimer's and she's been visiting with her parents for years.
Yes.
And it's been interesting in that I've actually learned these sort of minor little personality quirks about my grandparents that I wouldn't have known if it hadn't been happening, because they were so minor that they weren't something that would have been talked about if my mother wasn't sick. You know what I mean? Yes. Because she would have been consumed with everyday details. But because this is where her headspace is, I'm getting these little tiny pieces of my grandparents that I never knew about. So that's been kind of cool.
It is. And that piece too, where we can source them in, you know, so often we want them to just pick one reality because it's easier for us to track. But really, the fact is they're getting faceted in moving between those dimensions, and it can really set them up for that contact with you when they do pass, because it's like they already know the way.
Cool. All right. I think I'm good with questions. Do we want to jump into some readings?
That sounds fun.
That does sound fun.
Certainly does.
Do you have a preference with who you'd like to start with, Anna Maria?
No. Whoever feels moved, you go first. I'm kind of, the way I describe it is kind of like a magic eight ball. The questions that you ask is what triggers the flow of energy. So, you know, there's definitely times that I can do group readings where I can just be like, oh, this is who's here, or blah, 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 whatever that is. But I find that the questions actually give us more directed flow of the energy, and we can just wait and see what comes through with it, because, you know, again, it's just all about dialing in that radio station.
Right. All right, Carol, why don't you jump in?
Okay. Gosh, so many questions. What to pick? So I guess for me is when I go to the cemetery and I visit my quote unquote tree, are there any messages? Is the tree aware? Is it sad when I have weeks where I don't show up?
I love this. This is such a great question. And everyone's like, yeah, my tree too. I'm wondering this too. and the trees, you know, the thing about the tree, the energy flow with the tree is so different than, say, our animals. Because there is, remember, most trees, if we don't interrupt, they're going to live for hundreds of years. Mm. And so they've got this pace. In fact, most scientists, arborists kind of folks, would say that there's no way we could connect with trees because they're so much slower, and we're so fast. We're kind of like this little fly buzzing around them, and that we would never connect. Well, I love science. I love scientists. And yet there are times when we know science might not have the whole story. And this is definitely one of those. Now, the tree definitely notices when you're there and when you're not. But again, because of their big, long lifespan, you being gone for a couple weeks, it's like a blip. It's like you just went to the store for that. So that piece. And if you... Do you muscle test, or do you work with pendulums or dowsing rods?
Yes, I do, actually.
So one of the most fun ways I've found to interact with a tree and to see that you have that interaction is to actually use dowsing rods. Now, I know a lot of people just, you know, muscle test on their fingers or use a pendulum, but it's way more fun to see it. So what you do is you can find the tree that wants to work with you and I always tell them, I'm all excited. I'm going to do this experiment. Do you want to do it with me? And they'll either be flat out no. And I'll feel that. And you'll feel it, because what will happen is you'll either feel heavy or like you're leaning backwards. Or if it's a yes, you'll feel light or like you're leaning forward. Or like if I find the right tree, they're just as giddy as I am to connect. So then you step away from the tree and you're holding your dowsing rods. And you're just saying, when I get to the auric field of the tree, show me. And as you start to walk to the tree, all of a sudden you'll see the ends of the dowsing rods will start to cross. And if you look up, it will be right about the drip line of the tree. Oh. Now, this is the normal auric field of a tree, is right in the drip line. But we know from all the other, you know, tests that we've done, that you can expand. We can expand our auric fields. We can expand the auric fields of others that we're working with. So then, you know, you thank the tree, the energy. And I say, this is when you love on the tree. You go into gratitude. Oh my God, you're so beautiful. Thank you for this oxygen exchange. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for playing here and the energy with me. And now I want to see where your auric field is. So now you're under the tree and you're walking away. And you've got the dowsing rods and they're facing forward. You walk away, you get past the drip line. It still shouldn't cross. You'll get further out, probably anywhere from 3 to 5 feet outside of the drip line, and then you'll see them cross. And that'll show you the boundary line of the auric field and that your interaction actually affected the tree's aura.
Oh, wow.
Definitely play with your tree, because and it's like, the more we do that, the more we open up to other fun things that they can share with us.
I love it.
That's very cool. I am going to check out your top 5 ways to communicate with animals, but my question is, I have 4 cats and
they have you, you mean.
They have me. Yes, they have me. Yes, absolutely. They have me. And I just find that so often I'll kind of look up and one or several of them will be watching me, and the expression on their face is, you poor human, you just are so far behind.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, I know they have all this amazing wisdom because I can feel it, but I just can't seem to get there to have them share it with me. So I don't know if there's actually a question in there so much, but it's a very interesting sensation that they are clearly much smarter than I am.
I know, right? And as a human, our egoic side doesn't necessarily want to lean into that. And, you know, I have to tell you, even with my ability to communicate with all of my animals, that I still get those looks from them sometimes when it's yeah. taking me too long to, you know, like, because it's very much like, when you have children, they're always talking. And so you're not always paying attention to everything they're saying. And it's the same thing with the animals. And so sometimes we have to kind of, you know, tune in specifically for what it is. But it's fascinating with animals. One of the things, when they're in the wild, you know, their energy is focused on everything around them. They're using all their senses to find food, to find a mate, to not get eaten, you know, all of these things. When they come live with us, we take care of all of that. You know, nothing else is going to eat them. Mm. We take care of they're not reproducing anymore. You know, we put their food out. So they learn to focus on our energy field. Because when we're in a good mood and we're in a high vibration, we are rolling around on the floor, cuddling them, passing out treats like it's the lottery. When we are in a contraction, when we're in a low vibration, we come home and we're like, go lay down, go lay down, go away, leave me alone, stop it, you know, whatever it is. And so they learn to focus on our field. So that is one of the things that just naturally happens because they're smart enough to know that. And then there's also that aspect of them where there's a contract. When the animals are with us, they help us move energy. And there's no way to ask them not to do it. So anything that we're not or unable or unwilling, or we just don't even know that we need to move, they'll take it on. And just like in our bodies, if we have energy that we don't move, you know, it pools up and it shows up as dis-ease in our physical body or in our behavioral field. The same thing will happen with our animals. So we know they're messengers, they're mirrors for our inner terrain. And cats are so funny because I kid you not, like, you can be on top of it with your game with communicating and they'll still remind you of how much you don't know. And all of those different aspects. So it's really about, and you know, when the cats are doing that, you know, I'm tuning into your little clowder of cats there. And they're like, you're in your busyness so much. They're like, just sit down and relax. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the doing because we think, oh, I'm going to do this and then I'll get this and it'll come through or whatever. And, you know, for humans, we're kinetic learners as adults. So the movement helps. But really, your cats are like, sit down, be still. We can share a lot more with you if you would just sit down. But we're so trained to keep going all of the time.
Right.
So, you know, on one hand, yes, your cats have a lot more to tell you. And on the other hand, they're still going to look at you with that look, even once you've mastered all of this.
But something else I just occurred to me. I know that cats do not need to vocalize to communicate with each other, that they typically only vocalize to communicate with human beings. And most of our cats, I have four, most of them are quiet, but we have one that literally just walks around the house talking all the time. So I know he must have something very important to say.
Well, and it's so interesting, you know, different animals, they've got a collective kind of an overarching energy, you know, their collective consciousness, and then there's their specific energy and in the individuals. So cats are always about magic and mystery. Mm-hmm. And cats, of course, a lot of people will have these chattery cats, like you said, and they don't need to do that. They communicate with each other just fine.
Right.
But it's really for us, and it's about us getting, like, something else is going on. And with your cat, he actually is just kind of chatty. He would talk to anyone in any language that would listen. You know, like he's that guy at the bus stop who's yes. going to talk to everybody. So, but there is that aspect about, okay, they're chattering. Let's tune in. Let's see what's going on. And the thing is there's a lot of times I'll connect with animals, even animals who do have some kind of a physical need, and they don't even want to talk about that. Mm. And I'll tell them, you know, your person went to moved a lot of stuff to be able to connect and for us to talk. And you don't even want to talk about this physical issue. You're talking about this human and their energy field and the pattern that's going on there. They just don't see the physical the same way that we do. They see its transient nature. They get that. And they know that the energy running underneath everything is way more important. Mm. So a lot of times they will, some of them just by personality are more chatty and they know you get that they're trying to talk to them. But sometimes it's just about that. Come on, figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they know you have the ability to do it, that you just forgot you have the ability to do it.
Right, right.
It does seem like between the trees, the animals, it's a lot of the same messages, and that they're just very patient with us because we take a while to get on board.
It's very much that way, you know? And again, it comes through differently. So for us to be able to lean into it. So my tribe is the animal and nature lovers. Like, that's the portal that we can use, you know, to get in there easier, for us to get into that energy. For some people, it's that space of gratitude, or it's children, or it's their art that is the bridge to them. For me and my tribe, it's the animals and nature. And so we're doing it. And it's interesting because those of us who have that, there's physical things that are happening when we're surrounded by that natural realm in the form of plants and rocks and animals. They're putting out those negative ions that our physical body needs, and that is actually being pulled from our physical bodies in these synthetic environments that we find ourselves in so much. So it's a literal recharging of our system to be out in that nature. Mm-hmm. And when we get that balance, we can tune in easier. So often we're so depleted on so many different levels, even from the basic water, you know, hydration, that we're missing out, or the energy feels so scattered. And so there are physical things we can do, like drink clean, really pure water. We can make sure that we're getting phytonutrients in our body, in the cells, so that the cells can do, you know, the biological functions. But then, because that's being taken care of, then they can extend to these other energetic realms. But if your body, if you're feeding your body on McDonald's three times a day, or any of its brothers or sisters, your body isn't getting its nutritional needs met. So it can't begin to worry about the energetic messages coming through. It's just trying to survive and create new cells that are just as sick as the old cells.
Very good point. I hadn't thought about that before. That's a very good point.
And so many things in our environment act as these neurotoxins and scramblers. Mm. So if we're feeling like, I know something's trying to come through, but I don't know what it is, you know, because we all do that. We all go through those. You know, even I do, if there's certain things like a new course I'm trying to bring through, I call on my team, my cosmic committee, they will get me to be very intentional about my eating and get, I'm a pretty clean eater normally. I mean, I am a little bit like Zorba the Buddha, so I enjoy all of the other things that are here in this embodiment, but I know enough and I've experienced it enough to know that if I'm having difficulty connecting in some way or getting the information that I'm looking for, to clean up my diet, you know, green smoothies, more water, movement, so that my lymph system is pushing out the toxins. Get rid of those artificial colors, the artificial flavors, those artificial sweeteners and the dyes. Those are horrible for our energetic mm-hmm. transmissions, and they just create chaos in the brain, and it feels like static. You know, like we were just hanging out with the grandkids the other day, and I was eating blue frosting. Like I would never normally eat blue frosting because good grief, you know, like the number of things in that, but it's part of this experience. And I can tell you that I could feel the difference, like the amount of concentration it would take for me to tune in with that blue Lake 40 in my system was very different than when I'm not eating blue frosting.
Yeah.
So the beauty is there are things we can do. We do all of our energetic pieces, you know, the meditation, the getting in the stillness, the opening our heart space. But there's physical things that we can do too to help raise our vibration and really be able to walk in this 3D environment in a way that we stay connected.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I love that. And thank you for sharing all those tips and sharing them with our listeners, the PDF, everything. I think so many people are curious about this. But you had touched on it. Sometimes there's embarrassment, like, you know, even when for me, when I'm walking, I'll go put my hand on the tree and pretend I'm stretching. Like, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here, folks. So this is good that people can learn in a safe space.
Yes, absolutely. And we have to embrace that too, because those are other voices that are there that are going to pop up. You know, like when I take people deeper into like my certification course and help them unpack their backpack, we're looking at the blocks, the old tapes, the old programs that are there. So if you're noticing that, again, it's not that we have to change it up and, you know, just stand there hugging the tree, you know, whoever walks by, but our awareness of, look at me, pretending I'm stretching all the time. So there's still this piece here, there, or the other, and it has nothing to do with them. It's just another energy that we just want to be aware of. And, you know, we ask questions because all of us are like magic eight balls, and questions move the flow of energy, and any judgments or conclusions that we make stop it. So it's important to be in the wonder all of the time. And that's why, you know, being with children in that, and they're still so close, they spark that imagination and that wonder and that possibility.
Mm.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a great way to end. We're all magic eight balls. I love that.
Yes, I love it too. Now I'm going to get a magic eight ball to put on my desk to remind me of that.
Yes.
Thank you, Anna Maria. It was so much fun chatting with you.
Oh my goodness. This is beautiful. And again, two souls who have followed those signs and symbols and nudges from your higher self to get you where you're at, and knowing there's so much more going on and helping other people connect with that. Thank you for providing such an amazing, authentic platform to have these soulful conversations.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very
thank
sweet.
You. Anna Marie, you literally gave the definition of a divine breadcrumb.
Yes.
We love it.
So where can people find you?
So my website is intentiontraining.com.
Okay.
And on Facebook, you can find me facebook.com/animals as messengers.
Awesome. We will put that in our show notes as well so people can find you quickly.
And if they click the link for the free gift, that will automatically put them on my mailing list so that they can stay connected to, you know, other of these appearances and courses and offerings. And every other week I do What's Up Wednesday, which is a free gathering virtually online. And we look at what's up in the energy. We talk about energy and I do some free readings for the group too. So it's a great way to stay connected and to start to dip your toe into your own expansion.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us and listening today. As always, you can catch the show on the website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you're hearing, please tell your friends, leave us a review, send us an email and tell us what else you'd like to hear about. Or if you have questions, we'd love to do a question and answer show. So send us your questions. We look forward to that. Anna Maria, thank you again. It was such a pleasure to chat with you.
So much fun being here. I'm so grateful. And thank you guys for doing such great work in the world too.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.